The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition. That makes it Friday Eve. But Dom's already treating it like it's Friday and taking it off. So, Dom, back on Monday, you can be a part of this fine program. And tomorrow, you'll be gone tomorrow as well, but we'll still be live. We're doing it live for your listening entertainment. And, of course, we hope to inform you each and every day. 844-967-2789. You can play along. You can be a part. And there are a few things I want to talk about, starting with the air quotes general press conference that Donald Trump called at Mar-a-Lago down at his resort in Florida. Why is it a general press conference? Because I guess he didn't have any particular rationale or reason other than the fact he just wanted to steal the news cycle. Kamala Harris and her VP pick, Tim Walz, they're killing it. And Trump is out there flailing. And he's feeling very badly. And, you know he's flailing because he's returned to talking about crowd size. And I was at the Kamala Harris rally. I mentioned this. I was at the Kamala Harris rally yesterday. About 15,000 people in Eau Claire. It was a big old party. Well, to hear Trump tell it, 2,000. And then he was like a reverse auctioneer because each time he said the possible number, it was a smaller number. Like 1,500. Like Kamala gets 1,000 people, they act like it's a big deal. I had 107,000 people. Or so he claimed recently. Again, back to the crowd size stuff. But the biggest whopper, and we're going to talk about a few of the whoppers at this general press conference, because Trump sort of evaded our scrutiny for the last week or two. But Trump claims we actually had more people, he complained, compared the January 6th rally, unironically, to Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. Let me read just a little of this. And we do have some of the sound from this general press conference. A little broccoli for everyone. Former President Donald Trump lashed out today at claims that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech had a larger crowd than his, air quote, Stop the Steal rally on January 6, 2021. During a press conference at Mar-a-Lago, Trump was challenged on his insistence that there was a peaceful transfer of power after he lost the 2020 election. You didn't concede January 6th was a violent attack, the reporter noted. How was that a peaceful transfer of power? Seems like a rational and very straightforward question. I think the people that, if you look at January 6th, which a lot of people aren't talking about very much, oh, I like to talk about it all the time, man. That's when you tried to coup d'etat, have your former vice president hung. I remember it well. I bet you Mike Pence does. Trump replied, I think those people were treated very harshly when you compared them to other things that took place in this country where a lot of people were killed. Trump argued that no one was injured on January 6th. The biggest crowd I've ever spoken to, and I said peacefully and patriotically, which nobody wants to say, but I said peacefully and patriotically, the biggest crowd I've ever spoken to. I don't know who's ever had a bigger crowd than I have, but I had it many times. Nobody's spoken to bigger crowds than me. If you look at Martin Luther King, when he did his speech, his great speech, and you look at ours, Same real estate, same everything, same number of people, the former president added. I'm sorry, I don't know why I did the Trump voice for that. And they say he had 1 million people, but I had 25,000. Now, I can tell you, I've seen some big crowds. I have seen crowds from 25,000. I have seen crowds larger than 1 million. And no, I don't mean at your inauguration, Trump. I mean the very next day when the Women's March came to D.C., we stuck around. We marched around. And that was less of a march than a movement of a city. There were millions of women in the pink hats. I'm telling you, that's what a crowd looks like. But Trump in his presser today, he's back to flailing and making claims like I had a bigger crowd than the million people that attended Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. Rich, going to need your help. Why don't we pull up some of the Trump sound? I know, no one's like, yay, Trump sound. But I think it's important that you hear what the man had to say. He is the leading candidate. Hell, he's the nominee of the Republican Party. You picked him. He's all yours. And he felt it important to go out there and do some trash talking for Mar-a-Lago today. So let's get to it. Rich, let's play it for the people. Here he is. Donald Trump. The country's in danger. Cut three.
Our country is right now in the most dangerous position it's ever been in from an economic standpoint, from a safety standpoint.
You know what's interesting? Monday, it was the Kamala crash, right? The markets were off 1,000. We're on the brink of recession. I mean, Trump today at his press conference said, we're on the brink of a depression. I mean, worse than a recession. And as he's talking, the markets are soaring. And all of the losses effectively from the Kamala crash on Monday, they've already been restored. The markets have returned over $2 trillion in value. I think they did okay. What happened to the Kamala crash? Well, I guess it's all better now. I guess it's the Tim Walz bounce on Wall Street. More from Donald Trump. Looking forward to the debates.
I just look forward to these debates. I think it's very important that we have them. I hope she agrees to them.
So this was probably the only newsworthy thing that came out of this event in Mar-a-Lago. Trump made the announcement, three different dates, three different debates, proposed, accepted, according to Trump, by his team. They are September 4th. That is a proposed Fox News debate. We knew about the September 10th event on ABC that was supposed to be Trump v. Biden. But when Biden dropped out, Trump has backed out. But today, as of today, although I think he screwed up the dates, he said ABC on September 25th and an NBC debate on September 10th, the reality came to clarity a little bit later because ABC has acknowledged not only has Trump's team accepted this debate challenge, but now the Harris campaign has also accepted a September 10th event. So we do have, and you're going to want to circle this on your calendars, perhaps the most important political debate of your lifetimes happening on September 10th. Kamala Harris is going to debate Trump. And I'm very much looking forward to this. You know, a felon against a prosecutor. And if he doesn't use the N-word out loud that night, I'd be shocked. I would be shocked. So, some of the news, and it was funny, I was listening to this actual press conference on Righty Whitey Talk Radio, and like they pulled away from it after 15 minutes and said, well, we've got some news coming out of it. It's debates, you know, three debates been proposed. Now we haven't accepted debate from the Harris team, so it looks like there will be a debate. And that's about it, but a couple more, a little more broccoli here, not too much. Peaceful transfer. He was questioned. Donald Trump was questioned, and he's still making the claim that he peacefully transferred power and he'll do it again. Of course he won't. Cut five.
Of course there'll be a peaceful transfer, and there was last time, and there'll be a peaceful transfer. I just hope we're going to have honest elections. That's all.
He just hopes. Or it'll be less than a peaceful transfer, I suspect. Two more from Trump. Cut number six, abortion.
I think that abortion has become much less of an issue. It's a very small, I think it's actually going to be a very small issue.
But you made it a bigger issue today. I'm going to digress just for a moment. Coverage at the Washington Post. During the press conference today, Trump said that he is open to curbing access to abortion pills through federal regulations, declining to rule out a sweeping move that some anti-abortion allies have advocated. Trump has previously praised a Supreme Court ruling that maintained access to the key abortion drug mifepristone, saying, "I agree with their decision to have that done, and I will not block it." But today, the GOP presidential nominee muddled his position. Is that what he did? A little muddling at the press conference at Mar-a-Lago? A reporter noted that there are ways the federal government could restrict abortion besides the national ban and asked if Trump would direct the Food and Drug Administration to revoke access, easy for me to say, to mifepristone. Trump did not reject the idea. "Sure you could. You could do things that would supplement," the GOP presidential nominee said. "Absolutely, but you have to be able to have a vote. And all I want to do is give everybody a vote." Trump has defended his appointments of the Supreme Court justices who overturned Roe v. Wade by saying that the decision allowed the states and voters to weigh in on the issue. Well, I hope you're all going to weigh in on November 5th. Tony Evers' birthday. I don't know if you know this. The governor announced yesterday from the stage, November 5th. Election Day is his birthday. A little bit more from Trump. This one, Harris. Now, he wants to debate her, but she might be incompetent. He definitely called her stupid. Cut 7.
"She's barely competent, and she can't do an interview. But I look forward to the debates because I think we have to set the record straight."
And he went on, and it wasn't played in that soundbite, but he effectively called his opponent stupid. "I think she's stupid." He said it a couple times, I believe. Oh, he said lots of stuff. One interesting thing he noted, he was talking about China. And he talked about Xi coming to Mar-a-Lago to meet with him. And he pointed to the back of the room and he said, "Well, we met right over there. There used to be a couch over there. And now you're all standing there." He must be talking about the press, right? And I'm thinking to myself, why did they have to remove the couch from Mar-a-Lago? And then I realized, oh yeah, J.D. Vance is on the ticket now. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates, taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. We've got a congressional candidate from the 3rd CD. Couldn't take her yesterday. We're making room today for Rebecca Cook at 4:30. But in the meantime, your calls could be next. Light them up, dial them up. More Devils.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. That makes it Friday Eve up in here. We got some fine guests joining during the big show. Rebecca Cook, a congressional candidate, a Dem in the 3rd CD. It's getting a little mudslingy in the 3rd. We're going to have Rebecca Cook join us at 4:30 today. And New Marquette University Law School polling. And you're like, didn't we just get polling yesterday? Yes, we got Wisconsin polling. But if you're unaware, new national polling, not just Wisconsin residents, national polling. Marquette University poll dropped today. And I've even seen it on Foxy News as a graphic. Kamala Harris is clearly up on Donald Trump in this newest polling. Not only that, she's up outside the margin of error head-to-head. And then when you include third-party candidates, she's up by 6. It would almost seem the third-party candidates are a draw from Donald Trump. I know how many of our Democratic friends were worried, nervous there for a while. Third-party candidates, now was not the time. Well, now might be the time if they're stealing voters from Trump. A few of you noticed No Dob. Cam says, "I can co-host sub for Dom. I'm not as cool as him, but damn, can I take a verbal beating." Well, that is the most important part of being the sidekick here. I did suggest that if you wanted to fill in a name on your ballot, you should consider including my name, fill in the blank with Crudy. Matt from Germantown apparently is a poll worker. Don't write unnecessary things and makes it harder on us poll workers. All right, Matt. Don't throw Crudy in. Don't have Matt blame me on this. Do have a WMDX texter from the 920 said, I early voted for Charles Barman. Now, Charles was a caller. Charles is a Republican from the state line of the state of Wisconsin. Running for the U.S. Senate, he's on the ballot against Eric Hudvey. So Barman's on the ballot. And this particular texter said, and they also voted no. And that is the right answer, no, on both constitutional amendments. Whether or not you choose to vote for Charles Barman, understanding this is a partisan primary. Tammy does not have an opponent, so you can safely cross over and vote on the Republican side, you know, if you want to. But Hudvey has two Republican opponents. One apparently was complicit in the scheme to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. And the other one called our show, and his name is Charles Barman. And he's a different sort. Different sort than Hudvey, certainly. And Eric Hudvey is a billionaire bank owner from Laguna Beach, California. And I think ultimately Hudvey will lose to Tammy Baldwin. But if you want to have a little time, a little fun in the meantime, consider voting for Charles Barman instead of Hudvey. Have a little fun. 844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, happy Thursday, man. Hopefully you're having fun.
Yeah, happy Thursday to you, Cody. Thanks for going up to Eau Claire yesterday. That was pretty cool. If you see something live, you get a whole different feel for it. Is there any chance you guys will have the debate at the Barrymore again on September 10th, I think you said it's going to be? Or
I haven't made any particular plans. I mean, this just dropped within the last 2 hours, Paulie. Give me a little bit of time for logistical planning, but we know there will be a presidential debate on September 10th. I'll reach out to Steve and the crew at the Barrymore, perhaps, but don't have any firm plans yet, Paul.
Oh, that's okay. I was just curious. It was kind of fun going to the last one, even if Biden had a bad night.
Well, I told you it was the most important debate of your lifetime. Paulie, can you think of any other presidential debate that ended with a candidate stepping down from the candidacy? I mean, I remember Jim Webb had one primary debate in 2016. He told everyone he killed a man and walked through the spin room, spent about 3 minutes there, and then quit the race. I think, just based on the gravity of the decision made post-debate, I don't think I lied to you, Paulie. I think it was the most important debate, but for all the wrong reasons, probably.
Well, it was hard to take when Biden, right out of the box there, it couldn't talk. I mean, and Trump just stood there and lied the whole time. And at the end of it, they were talking about a golf game. I mean, boy, oh boy. I think the one coming up is going to be very important. I would like to go to that one and see Kamala kick his ass. But I hope people turn out to vote no in a referendum. I know I live in the 40th Assembly District. There's three candidates running on the Democratic side, so I think there'll be good turnout in that assembly district. I don't know what the rest of them are like, but anyway, thanks for yesterday, Crudy, and work on the Barrymore, if you will.
Well, I tell you what, last time I saw you at the Barrymore, Wisco Paul, you were trash-talking me for my good-looking Chippendales-like partner, and you said something to your daughter like, Crudy, Crudy's like the guy out front collecting the tickets at the Chippendales show. You can see why I wouldn't want to be personally offended like that again, Paulie. Apparently, he's dropped his call. I'll take one more. I tease Paulie. 844-967-2789. Dick from Madison. Sorry I missed you yesterday, Dick. I know you called. Welcome to the show.
Oh, you know, this crowd side thing is driving me crazy. I go back as far as seeing Mondale and Ferraro at the Capitol Square. It was a light rain. I can tell you about the day. I saw Clinton Gore, 92, Kerry, the huge crowd that probably was 100,000 on West Washington. But today, too, they're attacking the running mate from Minnesota, and because of his mannerisms and that crazy leg kick in his arms, there's nothing wrong with a guy playing a fictitious or imaginary concertina while he talks all the time. You know, I mean, what's up with that? But to crowd size again, you know who would be a good person for him to sit down and talk to? It's a shame that Wilt Chamberlain is dead, because those two could have quite a conversation about fictitious things. Wilt with his 20,000 people that he supposedly slept with, and, you know, can you imagine the conversation between those two?
Well, Dick, I think there's a greater likelihood that Wilt Chamberlain actually bed 20,000 women than Trump's ever spoken to a crowd larger than the one I saw in Des Moines, Iowa that night. Folks, we have the Devil's Advocates. Come on back. We've got a fine guest. Her name, Rebecca Cook. She's running in the 3rd CD. There will be a primary next Tuesday. It's gotten a little heated up there. We'll clarify a few of the issues with Rebecca Cook. More Devil's Advocates Thursday. It's Friday Eve. I know I can feel it.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for nasty women everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition, back from Eau Claire. And we got a fine guest, unable to make it work out yesterday, my apologies, Rebecca Cook. She's a Democrat running for the 3rd CD, running for Congress. We welcome her back to the show. How you been?
I've been great. I'm in the heat of things right now. We got 5 days until our first election. So pounding the pavement, you know, knocking doors all over the third. Had a busy day yesterday at the exciting rally. It was just across the street from my family's farm here in Eau Claire with Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz, which was pretty historic, I feel like, for the Chippewa Valley.
You look less sunburned than either myself or Ben Wickler. I don't know if you saw him on MSNBC last night.
Look at that. Okay.
You got sun. You were.
I am a redhead after all.
You were at the rally. Ben Wickler looked shiny and red on MSNBC last night. He looked painful. But anyways, a great rally last night and very exciting to have this sort of political focus in your neck of the woods. But next week is very important. Coming up on the 13th, we've got a primary race, and you're running to represent the Democratic Party against Derek Van Orden. And we'll get to Van Orden in a minute, but let's talk about your primary in the short run. Now, I've known you for, I'd say, 2 to 3 years, and I met you prior when you were running for Congress in the 3rd CD. Rebecca, have you ever run for any other office than Congress in the 3rd CD? What's on your resume? How many offices have you run for?
I've run for U.S. Congress. I ran in 2022, had a really strong showing. I think was underestimated by a lot of folks, but won 11 out of 19 counties in this district, lost by just 8% of the vote. So again, had this strong showing, despite being hugely outspent by a couple of other folks that I was running against last cycle. And I think it's this kind of working class message that's really connected with people and pulled folks off the sidelines, in particular in rural communities and rural counties. But I think that what it is, to answer your question, I haven't held elected office before. I have been appointed by Governor Evers to our State Economic Development Board because of the work I've done in the small business world, right? I ran a small business for a number of years here in Eau Claire, retail shop that I sold at the end of 2022. It's tough to compete with cheap foreign-made goods. And then I also run a nonprofit that supports women throughout 18 counties. We've helped 50 businesses launch in the last 8 years. So I don't think it's always comes down to the credentialing that you can sometimes see happening when people decide, you know, who's good enough to run for office. I think it's important that we have everyday people stepping off the sidelines that are reflective and understand the challenges that regular working people are going through. And my background that's rooted in agriculture, rooted in small business. I also waitress 3 nights a week while I'm running for Congress 7 days a week. And I think that that's connects with people in a way that's really important. And people have trust in the way that decision-making will happen when it comes to policy.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest. She is Rebecca Cook. She's running for Congress in the 3rd CD. But Rebecca, if I were to believe some of the mud being slung your way. You're some sort of a Republican plant. You're a Manchurian candidate. Tell me about your Democratic bona fides. Do you perceive yourself as a moderate, as a liberal? How would you describe yourself, Rebecca?
Look, I'm a Democrat through and through. And I think one of the things that we're in trouble a little bit with in this country is the labeling that takes place on both the right and the left. And, you know, you've got people that are so far left or so far right that they can't come together to get anything done. And the thing is that when you get elected to office, you're elected not just to represent the Democrats in your district, but you're elected to represent everybody. And so we're running a really big tent campaign that's focused on pulling people off the sidelines. I will say my campaign website has not changed since 2022. So I'm running on the same issues. I'm running on the same things. And, you know, I think I have this kind of rural populism that connects with people, that I think connects not just with the bases in some of like our urban centers, but is pulling people back into the Democratic Party that once were a part of it. People like farmers in some of our rural communities, factory workers in some of our rural communities, folks that haven't seen themselves reflected in the party for a long time, and they see that within me and know that at the end of the day, I'm going to do the right thing.
Rebecca, if you could name your top two or three priorities as issues, if you're elected to the U.S. House, what will you advocate for?
Yeah, very top is increasing healthcare access and affordability. You probably have heard we've had some really difficult access issues in the Chippewa Valley with the closing of two major hospitals, one in Chippewa Falls and one in Eau Claire, which is having tremendous impacts on our community's ability to get the healthcare that they need at a cost that it's affordable. And, you know, beyond that, I want to expand Medicare to cover vision, dental, and hearing, the very things that deteriorate, as folks say, that's been something that's been on my platform since I ran in 2022, that our parents and grandparents are really able to age with dignity. And, you know, to take on pharmaceutical companies that are price gouging consumers really at every turn. So, you know, there's the healthcare piece. I'll also say that I come from a union family. My brother is a union firefighter down in Madison, and my sister works for the Teachers Union in Minnesota, Education Minnesota, and getting the PRO Act passed is going to be a top priority of mine when I get out to D.C. and undoing the work that Scott Walker and his cronies did, frankly, with Act 10. And then finally, reproductive freedoms are on the ballot, running against somebody like Derek Van Orden, who has at one point called for a nationwide abortion ban. I know that women in this district care a lot about being able to make their own healthcare decisions, and it's not my role as a member of Congress to be in somebody's doctor's office making those decisions for a woman and her family. And in fact, we have an ad that's running in the district that highlights a conservative woman, actually, in her experience in having to travel to Minnesota to terminate her pregnancy because of a fatal birth defect. And she was courageous enough to share that story. And there's a lot of stories like that of women across the third CD. And we need somebody that's going to be a champion in Congress to codify Roe v. Wade back into federal law and help to win back the House majority. So we have a lot of voices to be able to do something like that.
Devil's Advocates, our fine guest, Rebecca Cook. Your primary opponent is Katrina Shanklin, currently a state lawmaker, has been for about 12 years, I believe, since her mid-20s. And currently, my understanding is you are vastly outraising her. And I'm not a huge fan of money in politics, but it is a metric of support. So I hear lots of bemoaning from her campaign, the grandiose fundraising numbers you've had. I hear her slinging some mud about you taking dark money, but just yesterday I get an email from her campaign claiming that the DCCC's got $4 million to invest behind whoever wins the primary, and she can't wait to be the recipient of that money. Just feels like a bit of a contradiction. Speak to your success at fundraising and this issue as far as the two campaigns go, please.
Yeah, well, look, I'll say it's difficult for somebody with my type of background, you know, growing up working class. I do have a background having worked on campaigns, but it's a lot when you're doing it yourself and showing people who you really are as a person. And I will say that people connect with us at the grassroots level in a pretty unbelievable way. Our average contribution is $54. So that tells you that we're really connected with everyday folks that are investing in this campaign. They see themselves. When you look at like our digital, we have digital ads that run on Facebook, and it's a picture of me, three plates serving at the restaurant that I work at. And that outperforms everything because people see themselves in that and people want to see themselves in their representative. And, you know, I will say this, that just today, Katrina Shanklin also received a six-figure outside spend in this race. And so she spent a lot of time, you know, talking about how we need to defend our democracy against, you know, outside spending when she is in actuality taking dollars like that herself. So, but I think, you know, it's important for us, I think, to change in my perspective, getting to Congress is to reform campaign finance so that we can have more regular folks stepping up to run. And that, and that's important to me.
Rebecca, my understanding is you've done three or four candidate forums that have been broadcast actually by Civic Media across the third CD. There was not a live television debate that could be aligned with your schedule and the other two opponents, Shanklin, and I forget who the third guy is. No offense to the young man.
He's awesome. His name's Derek Wilson.
Mr. Wilson has been a less serious candidate in terms of fundraising, etc. But my understanding is there's no TV debate, and that, of course, brings further criticism because Van Orden kind of hid from debates, didn't want to debate Brad Paff in the last cycle. What do you have to say about the debates and candidate forums to date? Do you think the people have heard your point of view as contrasted against the other candidates?
Absolutely. I think there's been multiple opportunities. We've actually had five debates, if you count back in November when we had a virtual one with Citizen Action. And then we had four that were organized by our third CD kind of group and our third CD chair that were in communities across the district. So people could come in person. They were well advertised by the county parties, both in Eau Claire and in Platteville and La Crosse and in Stevens Point. So people could come in person and see the candidate forums. And then I also felt like, you know, they were broadcasted. That was widely shared with people. So I think it was an excellent opportunity. The thing is what's important is a primary. In a primary is that people are hearing ideas and the values and the backgrounds of each of the candidates. And I think that those forums did just that. As we were moving into a very busy time, like the last month of an election and of a campaign, we are really focused on meeting voters where they're at and getting out there, knocking doors. We have a lot of campaign events throughout the third, as do all of the other candidates in the race. So I think there's ample opportunities to continue to meet all of us, to continue to see the differences and what we each bring to the table, and to go back and listen to those forums if that's what folks really want to hear, because I think there were definitely places in which we differ, and I think that's important for people to know.
Rebecca, I spent the night in Eau Claire at the Oxbow, and I was watching some of the political ads, the local news. I watched Channel 19 on a La Crosse last night, and I saw a Derek Van Orden ad, and he plays himself as this farmer grandpa. He's in the barn, and he's happy-go-lucky, and oh, he sticks his face back in. Oh, and I support this message. But his actual actions have been anything but sort of cordial and Wisconsin nice. He is anything but the happy-go-lucky grandpa sort. If you win this primary, how do you intend to go after Derek Van Orden in the general?
Look, I think there's plenty of fodder to fuel that fire. And I think it starts off really at the very beginning of him attending the Stop the Steal rally. He's been, you know, very strongly supported by Donald Trump. But he is somebody that has sought to undermine our democracy and to shake the pillars of our democracy. And I know people in this district, they don't want that in their representative, especially when things are so fragile at this moment. We need people that are going to uphold our pillars of democracy and not challenge them, right? It goes from, you know, the Stop the Steal rally to, you know, a pride book display in a library in our district, tearing it down, to getting drunk in his official office, lashing out at Senate pages, carrying a loaded gun through TSA, heckling the president during the State of the Union address. The list really goes on. So you have these like temperament issues that are problematic and embarrassing for people. But then you also have not just that, but like his policy stances are so out of whack with the district, calling at one point for a nationwide abortion ban, working on a farm bill that doesn't support our small and mid-sized farms. So I think there's a variety of things we're going to come after him on, for sure.
Rebecca Cook, again, assuming you win this primary on April 13th, next Tuesday is the vote. Will you campaign with Kamala Harris? Will you campaign with Tim Walz if invited? Or do you have any fear of campaigning with the presidential ticket, would you prefer to do your own thing, if you will?
I don't have a fear of campaigning with anyone. I think it's really important that we all are unified. I was really heartened in particular by the message that Governor Walz had yesterday that struck exactly the right tone that we need in rural communities throughout this district. And I'm really excited for that. And I'm really excited for that message to continue to develop.
And if people wanted to support your campaign, Rebecca Cook, how could they do so?
They can go to cookforwisconsin.com. You can also check out our Facebook and our Instagram and our Twitter, because you can see what all we're doing. So,
well, I understand you have an event at 5 o'clock tonight. Can people come to that event? Where can they see it tonight?
That event is in Eau Claire. Probably not, since it's in 15 minutes, 10 minutes from now. So I got to scoot on out of here. But we will be in La Crosse this Sunday. We've got a cookout. So if people want to come and have some hot dogs and hang out, chat a little bit about the campaign, and then come knock doors with us, you're welcome to that Sunday at noon, Copeland Park.
Excellent. My son's going to La Crosse. He'll be potentially one of your constituents. Rebecca Cook.
Tell him to come to the cookout.
Rebecca, thank you so much. I will pass along the invitation to the cookout. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Devil's Advocates. Good luck Tuesday. We'll talk real soon, I suspect.
You bet. Thank you so much.
More Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open. Dial now, 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition. Thank you to our most recent guest. Sorry we couldn't accommodate Rebecca Cook for Congress yesterday, but glad she was able to join us today. Don't forget, Tuesday, a big primary for a lot of candidates. You will decide who will represent the third CD against Derek Van Orden. And whether it's Shanklin, whether it's Cook, whether it's the young guy whose name I can't remember, they're all going to be better than Drunken Van Orden. Drunken Van Oddball, one of you put on the text line yesterday. I thought it was clever. I read them. 844-967-2789. If you have an opinion, now would be a good time, because we've got another fine guest coming up soon. New Marquette University Law School national polling. And new polling would seem to indicate Kamala Harris has a stunning lead over Trump nationwide, much closer here in the state of Wisconsin. And I see a Jeff on the text line. You trash texter, you. Why should we care about national polling? Isn't it all about the Electoral College in states like Wisconsin? Can it be both, Jeff? Can it be both? 844-967-2789. Troy from Mount Horeb. Welcome, Troy. Go Vikings.
Hey. Yes, absolutely. It was hard for me to get used to that, actually.
What, the Mount Horeb Vikings?
Yes, because of the Minnesota team. I moved there from Fond du Lac.
I lived there for 2 years myself, Troy, and when I talk about going to the state championship game, it was not in Mount Horeb.
I know that. I just wanted to call up. Rebecca sounds great.
She does.
And I'm sure you gave the cursory. We invited Katrina Shanklin on also, correct?
We have invited her on multiple times, and she has never even dignified our request with a declination. When you invite someone and they don't even say I'm busy, I'm just saying, Troy, we've invited her.
That says something. Yeah, that says something.
It does to me. I mean, they don't owe us anything, but you would think for the sake of their respective campaigns, they'd want the broadest lift they could get. And Troy, absolutely. I once upon a time played some part in growing the Civic Media Network. And it was purposeful. We've got five stations in the third CD. That is with purpose. There is no way in hell I was going to let Derek Van Orden run around the western part of Wisconsin unchallenged, just running shiny TV ads and radio ads, and never get questioned on his policies, on his anger issues, on his possible public drunkenness, Troy. Now, there are plenty of radio stations in the district to lift either candidate, be it Shanklin or Cook, and certainly to try to hold Derek Van Orden accountable, but it was with purpose. Believe me, Troy.
I believe it. And I'm glad Rebecca took you up on your offer, and she sounds great.
No, I've liked her. In fact, my first concern when I met her a few years ago is she was so polished for a relatively young candidate who had never served. She was so good. I'm like, wow. And you wonder, like, who polished this candidate? Because most of the time, Troy, Dems are not quick starters as candidates. And I would say the one exception I've seen is probably Dr. Kristen Lierley. She ran for assembly prior, but her congressional bid is catching attention nationally. Everyone knows about this candidate, this OBGYN. And I would say that Rebecca Cook has many of the same communication skills and has just sort of this, you know, sort of this salt of the earth quality I very much like.
Yep, I agree with you. I called a couple of weeks ago was the first time I had heard that Mark Polkan backed Katrina Shanklin. And I called his office and I asked the person to answer the phone. I said, how does he come back from that if Cook beats Shanklin?
Yeah.
You know, how do you back Cook if you've already backed her opponent in the primary? And I wish you'd have just stayed out of the primary completely and let the chips fall where they may and then back the candidate. Because like you said, the goal here is to beat Van Orden no matter how we do, who it is.
You know what, though, Troy, and I have never disagreed with Mark Polkan as much as I have on this issue of wading into a primary where it's the third CD. This is not his district, right? This is a different part of the state. And I love Mark Polkan, but I'm not clear why Mark Polkan came out so stridently in favor of Katrina Shanklin and then also felt it necessary to spread some of the mud against Rebecca Cook. I don't think it's good for the party. But I will tell you this, Troy. No. The primary is the time for sharp elbows. And I think the Democratic Party, I would much rather see these two fine candidates in Shanklin and Cook. I'd rather see them throw the elbows and sharpen up and polish and come up with their best arguments. Because if you haven't been vetted in the primary, the general election is not the time to vet a candidate. And, you know, I say this knowing that, of course, Kamala has not been fully vetted yet, Troy, but that's a whole different circumstance.
She's being vetted by Trump every day.
Oh, that's what they claim.
Well, you have a great day, and it was good talking to you.
Thank you, Troy. Thanks for listening. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocate. Got a fine guest he joins next. New Marquette University Law School polling, the national kind. We'll tell you which issues are important to the national voters, but I can tell you this, top line, Kamala Harris, and this is a stunner. She has turned the polling on its ear. She's leading Trump, and when you throw in the third-party candidates, she's got a broader lead over Trump. I'm feeling pretty good, folks. It's a happier, happy hour. Charles Franklin joins us next. More of your favorite afternoon radio show, Devil's Advocates. You're listening right now.